Well, the research is being done in other places. However, the network of the sensors that we are building in the Netherlands is unique in the world, and there are no other places that they have this network.
Offshore wind energy has gone through tremendous developments in recent years. Innovation was a key driver for its success. If offshore wind wants to make a lasting contribution to the energy transition, the sector must continue to innovate. I am David De Jager of GROW, a consortium with a joint research program in offshore wind. In this podcast series, I want to give you an impression of the key research and innovations that will shape the future of offshore wind.
Okay, well, we are here at the Dutch coast in a very windy January day, but the sun is shining. But we've decided to move in this beach pavilion. And we is myself and Iratze González Aparicio. But please pronounce it yourself because you can do it so much better
than
I.
Yeah, you did great. It's Iratze González Aparicio.
And you work at TNO.
Mm-hmm.
And you are here with Harald van der Meijlenmeijer of TNO. And you are having this podcast with me for the second time. Hi, Harald.
Hi, David.
And we are going to discuss a project that the two of you are coordinating within the GROW framework. And that's called PROWES. Iratze, can you explain what does it stand for and what is it about?
Yeah, PROWES, the goal of the project is to have a rain atlas to understand much better what is happening with the rain in the Dutch North Sea, and also what is the impact in the wind farms and the wind turbines to protect them and to have a better wind power.
Because rain is dangerous for wind turbines, Harald?
If you remember the predecessor project, like you mentioned, the WindCore project, it's a leading edge erosion is a process which damages the leading edges of the blade, so the front side of the blade, by impact of the water droplets.
Mainly rain, or also hail?
It can be also hail, but yeah, mainly the raindrops, because most of it is rain. But even rain has a large impact, because the rain droplet doesn't bounce. All the energy is transferred to the surface of the...
So, Iratze, going back to you, basically, this project is about, but where is the rain, right?
Exactly. So where is the rain and how it looks like the rain? So we have installed a network of sensors about six locations in the offshore North Sea and also in the coast. And this sensor measure what is the distribution of the drops and the size of the drops of the rain. And then we are going to analyze how this relates to the damage in the blades, thanks to as well a cooperation with the industry.
Yeah, because these sensors are located where?
Those sensors are located in different platforms in the offshore at sea. But also we are going to couple these measurements with radar measurements and also with very, very high resolution meteorological models that are collaborating with us other partners.
And the end result, what should it look like?
Yeah, the end result will be a very nice map, which will consist on different types of rains and probabilities of damages and probabilities of more likelihood on the damage on the blade.
And I would have expected that this data is already available.
Not at all. In fact, the network that we have built now in the Dutch North Sea is unique, because it doesn't exist in any other place in Europe, and this will be as well of a great value for other countries in Europe to understand better how it looks like the relationship between the rain and the damage of the wind turbine, not only for the existing wind turbines but also for the future wind farms.
And so it's indeed it will help to pick locations, or to, if you have a wind farm, to optimize the configuration of the turbines in a certain lot.
Yeah, we will provide at any location in the Dutch North Sea, although the sensors are located in six different places. We are going to extrapolate this data to have a grid over the Dutch North Sea, so it will be useful, this available information at any location, also for the wind farm sitting.
Yeah. And what will be the resolution?
It will be less than 100 by 100 meters.
Really?
Yeah, it will be very, very valuable.
And what I was wondering, I would have thought that the sea is a big flat surface, mm-hmm. so the chance of rainfall would be equal anywhere in this big sea. I see a lot of sea. Yeah. I don't see a mountain that will drive up clouds, and then so I would. Can you already give me an impression? Is there a lot of spatial variation in the rainfall?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends as well, not in the sea or the mountains, but on the clouds. So as you see, if there are currents coming from UK, all the clouds and also the cyclones coming from that way will change completely what it is happening in the middle, far from the sea, to the coast. So it depends very much, and as well on the circulations over the north, on the North Sea, and the south of the North Sea.
For instance, would there be places in the North Sea where it never rains, like a desert?
Well, I don't think so, but indeed there are differences between the areas.
And significant differences.
Yeah, this is what we are looking for, okay. And how can be linked to the better siting of the wind farms.
So the platforms that the sensors are located at, that are wind farms or oil and gas platforms? Or
they are platforms, oil and gas platforms, but they are not in the wind turbines per se. They are located in different, close to the wind farms, far from the wind farms as well, because we wanted as well to analyze what happened with the rain and the performance of the wind turbine close to the wind farm, and also in when there is nothing around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there are locations that like a Euro platform in Lech plat, yeah, I cannot pronounce that.
Oh, yeah.
And there is another one installed in close to the future wind farm in Maudenfer. It's a Q14A, yeah. And the other ones are in the coast.
Yeah. Who are involved? Which industry partners are involved?
Yeah, we are in collaboration with Equinor, Shell, and Eneco. Those are the industrial parties, and also together with WIFEL, that it is the company that is doing the high-resolution meteorological model with the LES, with the Large Eddy Simulation Model.
Okay, yeah.
And also another company that it is called Sky Echo, who is measuring the radar system to couple with the measurements.
So those two will interpolate or extrapolate the measurements.
Yeah, so the sensor that TNO is performing, the network of the sensor that TNO is performing together with Eneco and Shell, will be coupled with all the data that the radar Sky Echo are measuring, and also the WIFEL's modeling simulations. There will be covered all the Dutch North Sea.
I think the project started in 21, at the end of 21.
Yes, that's right. So the first part of the project was to evaluate where we could place the sensors and what type of sensors we use, because it's these distometers are not mostly made to put a long time offshore. And yeah, where are we now? Now we have loads of data already collected for different sites, and also operational data. And we have also the first discussions with the wind farm owners for what type of damages are already happening on the wind turbine blades, to find a relation.
Yeah, because you if you have these rain statistics, let's say, the atlas of near existing wind farms, you want to compare that with the damage of on the rotor blades. And clearly you hope to see a correlation. But that can be a really difficult exercise, because there are also other variables that probably will determine the damage. For instance, the operational strategy of the owner of a wind farm.
No, you're right. This, I think that ProWAS will not give all the answers, but it's everybody is looking to us, because this is quite a unique project, because we are one of the first who try to find the actual relation between field data. And it's also important to know what type of leading edge erosion it is, because you have small droplets with lots of wind, large droplets with so there's. It's the combination of wind and rain. So it's different from the normal rain atlases, like the NASA publishes also. In this case, we have a real leading edge erosion loading atlas.
And it's not say it's a gamble, but it's really open whether you will be able to find a correlation and whether, or are you quite confident that that you will be able to do that? I see you smiling, so I see some confidence there.
It's good that it's a podcast. So I'm a materials engineer, so I know that there's no one dominant failure mechanism. So like you said, what's the other effect? Now, of course, one of the effects is, for instance, sunlight. If you have sunlight, it has effect on the composite and the polymer coatings and so on. So there's a lot of side effects, but this is a first start to see. So for what is there a general, because there are already models developed, also by TNO, and we try to match this with the actual data in the field.
Are you as confident as Harald Iratsen?
Yeah, well, I would say that we will find nice correlations between the type of rain that damages most likely the wind turbine. It is already known some. There are some analyses now already existing, so I'm confident that we will add value to that already state of the art.
And I can also imagine this is really a route that you would like to explore, because if you can find this correlation and how to implement it in your operational or even design practices, then you can, as an operator or a developer, you can save a lot of money.
Absolutely. At this moment, the operators use only assumptions and big numbers, for example, to choose their coating systems for the blade. So this will be as well a very valuable input for them to at least decide or make a decision on what is the best coating system for the blades at different locations.
Iratsen, so the project runs, I think, until 24?
Yeah, September, end of the summer 2024. Yeah.
So you have now the sensors installed. Data, Harald just told us, are being generated.
Generated, retrieved from the sensors. So we are at TNO created a very nice database. And we are in the process of analyzing the data to make the correlations. And at this moment, we are in very useful discussions with the industry to find this link between the inspection reports and the data that we are finding.
And the data acquisition will run, will continue.
The data acquisition is weekly, and the measurement campaign will run at least for 2 years.
How many bytes do it generate?
I would say that dozens of terabytes.
So basically the next steps are indeed still continue to collect data and see and work on this defining this correlation
defining the correlation at the sensor sites, but also the next stage during this year is also to extrapolate with the high resolution model. We want also to count with the discussion with KNMI, the Dutch Met Office, that they are also advising us on the correlation on the sensors, and also how to couple with the radar measurements to have a robust database.
And Iratsen, what's your history with the sea?
Well, with the sea, I would say more on the meteorology. That's my real background. I studied engineer, but then I moved to physics to study what is happening in the sky with meteorology, and I am completely devoted to energy meteorology.
And you are quite fortunate to live really close to this place.
I miss a bit the mountains in the Netherlands because I like very much hiking, but the sea and the clouds and the skies are
with the dunes behind us, you have the highest spots of the Netherlands, sort of.
Absolutely, in Bergen.
It's called Bergen, a mountain, that means. Yeah.
Yes.
Iratsen, there must also be a moment that you just jumped into the air because you were happy about some developments. Can you share that with us?
Yes, absolutely. A good moment or milestone that we reached is when all the data were retrieved successfully from the disrometers operational, but also when all the disrometers were installed offshore. Because as Harald said before, the offshore conditions and installation are quite tough activities. So when we reached that milestone, we thought that it was a great success.
Well, I hope that this successful development will continue, and maybe we come back to you to talk about the end results.
Absolutely.
And many thanks for being here. I'm not saying having us at your big laboratory, that's called the sea. And thank you for your time and explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The research presented in this podcast series is supported by TKI Wind op Zee and the Netherlands Enterprise Agency. Would you like to learn more about this research? Check out the show notes, where you'll find a reference to the Grow to Go web magazine.